Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
It's E4. Hey, what is up? Welcome to E4 2018. That's right. It is time. This is episode zero, officially. We will be kind of giving our predictions, talk about E3 coming up next week, all that good stuff. But first, of course, I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. What's up, man?
It's time.
It's so exciting.
Yes!
So this episode, we're still in different cities, but you will be here in just a couple of days and be here for the remaining episodes of E4, which is super exciting.
You know, I was doing the math yesterday or day before. I'm going to be in your house for a sneaky long time. I don't know why I did this, but I was just like, screw it. It's me and Jane's first attempt going out there. We're going to stay for the whole freaking week.
There you go.
So we have hotel rooms booked for the entire week.
Very nice.
The cool thing about that is that E3 will technically be over like Wednesday. So, depending on what your schedule looks like, we might actually have like a day and a half there to like do whatever.
Like actually hang out, just like dudes.
Yeah.
That'd be weird.
And think about this. Here's what I was thinking about that I'm really excited about, and I hate to just drop this into your lap. But I have not seen Infinity War, and Solo is out.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like we gotta go to the movies.
That's a nice thought. I feel like that one, for me at least, is unlikely.
Well, yeah. Well, I forgot about the kid. But
the kid is a thing. So you know,
right?
But it is a nice thought. And by all means, you could go to Alamo Draft House while you're here.
I'm not doing that.
Live it up.
No, I can't do it. No, I can't have a movie. I was hoping you'd go with me because, like, I could take Jane to Infinity War and Solo, and she'll sit through it, but she won't think it's cool.
Right.
So, I didn't think about the kid, didn't think about that.
Yep.
This is why we need another sponsor, and we need to get theaters put in our houses.
That's a lovely thought.
Yes.
Where people bring you food, because that's now a requirement of mine for a theater.
Yes.
People have to bring you food and alcohol. It's a handy
Absolutely,
thing.
Yes.
Alamo Draft House is great. Have we mentioned that before?
I like it. I've only been there once, but I like it.
It's fantastic. So we've got E3 coming up. We're going to talk about that momentarily. But before we do that, we've got big news that we need to talk about. And so, if you are on the Patreon, you've already got a sneak peek of this, but this will be the official announcement for everybody else. So the first thing I'm going to say is go by the website, GamingUncensored.com. If you haven't been there recently, this is a good time to go check it out because it's different. It looks new. It's been updated. And so definitely go check that out. There will also be a link up there that will explain some of the stuff we're about to explain. But if you're interested in going by and reading that, you can do that as well.
Well, it sort of explains what we're about to explain. This is about to be in depth because we're making major changes.
Yes. In the 13 plus years of doing this show, it's always been pretty much what you've heard since you've been listening to it. We haven't done any real significant changes. The only real changes is it's gotten longer over time. We started it as a slightly shorter show.
Not much.
It was pretty quickly 2 hours and then stayed pretty consistently 2 hours for a while. And format and everything else has been what it is. And we're making some changes. Not big changes in some ways and then pretty significant changes in other ways. So just the biggest change, because this is going to be the one that's most noticeable for you as a podcast listener. We are moving away from our kind of two and a half hour format into pithier 1 hour shows. And so we're going to do 1 hour shows as opposed to the longer shows, with the caveat that we are going to do them more often and regularly, i.e. weekly. The goal is to do a weekly 1 hour podcast, starting really in a couple of weeks, because we're going to do a whole lot more than one 1 hour podcast in the next week. So prepare yourself. You're going to get lots of Gaming Uncensored over the next week. But coming back after E4, we will get into a routine of doing once a week podcast.
What?
That's crazy.
Now, wait, back up. I got to tell you, and I told you this just before we turned on the mic, and I know you probably think I'm insane, but like a month and a half ago, you were like, dude, I've been thinking about some stuff, and I think we need to relaunch the show. And I was like, cool, new logo, that's awesome. And you were like, no, dude, we need to relaunch the show. Whole new website, whole ball of wax, whole thing. And I was like, wait, yeah, okay, whatever, we can try it, but you and I both know we're not going to an hour. And it didn't click in my head that you were thinking an hour weekly. And then when I heard that, I got scared because I'm like, that means we have to be more regular.
Right.
Like, that means we have to do this thing more regularly, which you and I both want to do. But we got this thing called life, and you got a kid in your house. Like, so I love this idea. I thought it was great. But it also terrifies me. So all of that being said, I'm all in. Here we go. I'm excited about doing our shows on a weekly basis. I love that idea. Maybe we could actually turn it into a reputable podcast again.
Right.
But, man, I'm freaking out.
That's fair. That's fair. It's a big change. And we're a podcast that hasn't done, again, basically any change in 13 years. And so, yeah, it'll be a learning experience. We're gonna experiment with some new things. We're going to try out some stuff and see what happens. We'll probably fail in that a few times. And so be prepared for us to do something stupid, because we'll probably do something stupid here or there. But really importantly, this is the big note on all of this. This is a time that we're trying new stuff. And so if you have any ideas of something you've ever wanted to hear us do, let us know, because might try it out. We might do different segments, different, you know, stupid game ideas on it, whatever. We're kind of open to anything. And so if you're like, hey, you should do this because it would be funny or interesting or whatever, like, send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Let us know, and we'll try stuff out and see what happens. And like, if you totally hate everything we're doing, let us know that too. We obviously, what's ultimately not changing is it's still going to just be us talking about video games. That's the heart of the show, and that's what we're going to continue to do. And so if you've listened to the podcast for a long time and are like, oh no, they're changing everything, I really want the takeaway from all this being is you're going to hear more of us. You know, like, we're going to give you more content. It's going to be shorter, kind of more bite-sized chunks, not still really short, still an hour long, but shorter chunks in 2 or 2.5 hours, which is prohibitive for some people. And so maybe you like the show but can't dedicate 2 or 2.5 hours to listen to us. You have a shorter commute or whatever. I listen to podcasts every day on my commute. That's almost exclusively what I listen to. And, like, hour-long podcasts for me are really nice because it takes me 20-25 minutes to get to work, 20-25 minutes to get back. With a little buffer time in there, I get through a 1 hour show pretty easy a day, and that's cool, you know. And so if you're in that kind of situation and you only ever hear like half the show because then you move on because you got to work or whatever, like, hopefully this will let you hear more of the content that we're doing. And ultimately, part of this is that I have a kid, and doing 2.5 hours at a time is difficult. Doing 1 hour at a time, even if it's more often, is going to be easier to pull off logistically. So that's nice too. Even though it's more time that we're going to be spending in it, it feels like it's going to be more efficient use of time, which I think is obviously beneficial personally to us, but also is going to be a better listening experience overall. And that's, at the end of the day, what matters is hopefully this is fun to listen to. If you're listening to us right now, hopefully you enjoy what we do. If this is your first time here, welcome to E4. It's going to be quite the experience for you. Hang around for the next week. You're going to hear lots and lots and lots of us.
And you're going to see us, and you're going to actually see a lot more of us than you've ever seen before.
Yep.
Because part of the reason that I'm coming to your house and spending so much money to come to your house is because you have the bandwidth. Also because you have a child, but
right.
But mainly
reverse order, but yes.
Because you have the bandwidth and the ability to do what we have always wanted to do. And we're talking about new segments and new stuff on the show. And I got to tell you guys, I have some crazy, insane ideas that will probably come up during E3 that I'm not going to bring up here because I haven't talked to Tom yet. He and I have been talking off and on about this for 6, 8 months, maybe a year. And I think we both have big visions for this show. And I think it's insane that we're 13 years in and we're just now having big visions for the show.
Right.
And I think part of the reason why is because we're adults.
Yeah.
Like, when we started this, I wouldn't have admitted it back in the day, but we didn't know anything. We didn't have a clue about anything.
Sure.
Other than what we were going to eat for the next meal, right? Now,
maybe not even that.
Now we're like adults, and we know what we want to do with our lives, and we know what we don't want to do. There are certain aspects of my life that I'm not a big fan of that I would like to change, and I think a lot of this change that is happening with the show is because of that. I think we're old and we finally have a vision and we're going to try and execute it before we die.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, life changes, but I have a kid now. There's something about life changes that spur growth. And here we are in a moment of that. Again, before the show's ultimately fairly trivial in the grand scheme of things, but we love it, and we hope you guys love it. And so for us, this is a big deal. We're excited about it. I think it'll be fun. And so, you're going to see more of it. You'll obviously hear the change on the show, new logo, new website, all that kind of stuff, which is cool. We're going to try to be doing more content there, both just on the website in general, but also especially for Patreon guys. If you're supporting us on Patreon, we want to make sure that you're getting content. And so we're going to work to do more of that. This is kind of a rejuvenation effort, too. I'm excited, which is a good place to be. It's going to be fun to be fired up about doing some stuff for extra content and articles on the website and all that kind of stuff, which I really do enjoy doing. It's just a fact of kind of making space in crazy life to do it. And so here's our kind of forcing ourselves to make space. And again, I think it's a good thing. I'm excited.
Well, and like I said, this is different for me, guys, because he at least to this point has not been this guy, right? Like, I was the crazy nut job that at the very beginning that said this is going to be huge. And so part of the reason that I am slowly getting more excited is because he very obviously has a vision. One thing you learn about Tommy is that he doesn't say much. But when he does say something, you better pay attention. And so when he was like, hey, dude, this is what I'm thinking, I actually stopped and thought, okay, I need to pay attention because we've been doing this 13 years, and it's the first time that I can really think of where you were like, I really think this needs to happen. And so it's a big deal for me because you're seeing a vision of what this can be, and I'm really excited.
Yep, that's fair. Good place to be. So all that being said, which is now I've co-opted as what I'm going to call my future web post is all that being said.
I love it.
All right.
That's great.
So I'm retiring Yeti Corner and moving to All That Being Said. So just so you know, when you see All That Being Said on the website, that's where it comes from. Thanks to Chad for pointing out how often we say that. Now it's stuck in my head, and so I had to utilize it. So all that being said, it is E4. We have E3 stuff to talk about. So that's what we're going to do for the next 45 minutes or so. We've got tons of content as far as what we okay, let's take a step back. Prediction sure to go wrong. Maybe that's a better way to title this, right? That's co-opting from somebody else. That is not our original thought, but that's what this is. Prediction sure to go wrong. And so a bunch of E3 predictions that most likely most of which will not come to pass. But if we hit on any of these, I'm claiming it as a victory. So I've just got a bunch of things sitting in front of me that we've kind of talked about. And so I'm just going to start pulling off some things, and we're going to talk about whether or not they seem likely or not. Some of them, I've got two categories, not so crazy and crazy. The crazy ones are really fun and almost certainly not going to happen, but they're really fun. But we'll start with some not so crazy ones and hit on these. So one big question I have is what we're going to see at the Microsoft press conference, because I kind of feel like we know what we're going to get from Sony and Nintendo. And so a lot of these are the Microsoft conference, because I don't have any clue what we're going to get out of Microsoft. And so on my not-so-crazy list, let me know what you think of this one. I think we see Red Dead 2 show up at the Microsoft conference.
I don't think that's that far out. I think that there's really good odds. I mean, think about the big Rockstar games that have shown up in the Microsoft conference before. They used to have GTA on a fairly regular basis. I mean, Peter Moore got a tattoo, for crying out loud.
That was GTA 4, wasn't it? The Peter Moore tattoo.
Right. I mean, this used to be what Rockstar did. So I'm going to say that's probably more likely than not that Red Dead shows up at the Microsoft conference.
And if so, that's a huge get for Microsoft, right? Like, that may be the most anticipated game that we'll see at E3. Like Red Dead 2 is a big, big deal. If they not only show up, but show us like a lot of gameplay, so show us some story elements, give us a release date. Or do we? I think we have a release date. I don't remember. I think October or something. I don't know. But whatever, if they come up big at Microsoft, I think that's a big, big win for Microsoft.
It is, because, I mean, let's be honest. Let's be brutally honest. What else they really got?
Yeah.
I mean, What else they really got?
Where we've got some other predictions, but right now we don't know. They've got Crackdown. Like, that's the thing that keeps popping up, is that they have Crackdown. So we'll probably see Crackdown, which I did not put on my predictions, because it's just going to be true. So, by the way, Crackdown got delayed to 2019, for whatever that's worth. Red Dead is October 26th. Does have official release date, so that won't be news. But a lot of gameplay at the Microsoft conference of Red Dead 2 would be pretty awesome.
So since we are talking about the Microsoft conference, and since we are talking about crazy,
yep,
I'm going to go ahead and bring up my crazy.
Yep.
Which, you did the good thing, you did the production thing, and you wrote up this nice email, and you were like, add to this, dude. This is what we're going to do for episode 0. And like 15 minutes before I was going to add to it, you texted me. You're like, can you do a show in 15 minutes? I was like, oh, crap. So I did not get to the nice email. I apologize. But I told you before we started that I think Amazon is going to show up at E3. And before y'all laugh at me, no, I don't mean with a console. No, I don't mean with software. I mean, Amazon's going to keep doing what they're doing already and putting Alexa into everything. And here is where I'm going to eat a whole lot of crow. Because remember way back, like 4 or 5 years ago, where Microsoft had that conference that was focused 90% on talking to your television?
Uh-huh.
Remember that? Remember how much crap we gave it? Remember how bad we were on it? I mean, we tore it apart. Well, guess what? I can now talk to my TV in my house.
Yeah.
I can say, Alexa, and she just lit up because she heard her name. I can tell her to pull up anything on my dish receiver, and she will pull it up. And it works great because you don't have to go through the whole idea of go through the search and type it in and do all of that. I couldn't find something the other day, so I asked her to find it, and she found it. And so, like, 5 years later, I'm eating a whole lot of crow because I'm actually using that.
Yeah.
And I think that if Microsoft had Amazon roll out for their press conference and say, well, here's what we got. And I'm not necessarily talking about voice integration. I'm talking about Alexa being part of the Xbox. I'm talking about tie-ins with the Fire TV.
Yeah.
I'm talking about using the stuff that they've already got and making it available for the Xbox One in a way that it's not available now.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's a that would be a big, big deal. That would be a big partnership. Really quick, we have a guest. The sexy sidekick is here and wanted to weigh in.
Good evening, dear.
Hey.
How are you?
Doing good. I didn't want to weigh in on anything. I just was going to let everyone know that me and Little Lozier are really excited about E4.
You're really excited?
Yeah. It's really soon. You're going to be here in like 3 days or something.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. I didn't know if you were excited, but I'm really excited.
Well, normally I do speak with more exclamation marks, maybe, but no. just joking. I'm excited. And I'm excited for her.
Yeah, baby girl's pumped.
Baby girl is pumped.
I am so excited to meet her. We're going to have a whole lot of fun. And that's the other thing that's going to be different about this E4. Most of the time during this period of the year, for about a week, Tommy and I lock ourselves in a room for 4 days, and we don't do anything but this. But I've already made the comment that we're going to have to stop on a fairly regular basis for cute breaks.
Yeah.
Like, and it won't be because she needs us. It'll be because, oh, crap, we've been gone 20 minutes. We need to go see what she's doing. So
yeah.
That's what it's going to be. And we'll just apologize in advance, but that's the way it is.
You thought that was funny, little girl? She laughed at you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm talking about her, so she probably likes that.
Yeah. She also likes the microphone, apparently.
Yeah, she's real into that.
Well, hey,
and
now we know. Now we know. Just get the girl a mic and let her go.
Which E4 is this?
2018?
No. Which, how many E4s have y'all done?
13? This would be the 14th? I mean, we did it the very first year, right?
Yeah, I think this
We still use the production with your voice on it at the very beginning.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is number 14.
So, it's been a long time.
Y'all are really old.
Rude.
Yes. Yes, we are.
You have aged just as much as we have in that time.
Not really.
You told her about the adjustments we're making, didn't you?
I don't know what he's talking about. Oh, about the show.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So we're excited about
carded,
that, too.
So I haven't aged as much as y'all.
Yeah, you look super young.
That's what I'm saying. I haven't aged quite as much.
I have a picture of you in high school on my desk, and you look pretty much the same.
I've actually lost a little weight.
What's crazy to me, I don't know if I told you guys this, but I went to a fundraiser, like an FFA fundraiser the other day, and there was alcohol, and they gave me a wristband to get in there, and the girl, as she's giving me the wristband, looks at me and goes, "You're 21, right?"
Are you serious?
And I went,
You said almost twice?
I went, yeah, I've got an idea. You want to see it? She goes, no. If you've come all the way out here because you need to blow off a little steam, you're probably 21. So I'm gonna let it go. And I thought, okay, well, good to know. And my assistant Jane is pointing at my head. She's like, "Do you see this gray hair?"
Yeah.
She's like, "He's got gray hair. Do you see it? It's growing." So yeah, I almost got carded the other day.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
aging. It's been a long time since I've been carded.
Yeah,
that does.
I'm aging better than Jamie and Tommy.
Yes, that's fair.
Well, you know, the reason that you don't get carded, sir, is the hair.
Oh,
yeah.
And the beard. You gotta be over 21 to have this big of a beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
just years of like how long you could grow a beard.
Yeah. So I'm right there with you. I understand why that happens. But I gotta tell you, it made me feel good when the girl looked at me and went, You're 21, right?
You're really old.
Yeah. You're older than all of us.
Yeah,
okay, just keep rubbing it in. Just keep rubbing it in.
Well, I'm ready. I'm excited to see you.
I'm very excited to see both of you.
All three of us.
Yeah.
You know, no, that was not a slip. I said both of you. That was not a slip. I'm excited to see him, obviously, but I'm
least
pumped.
Least.
I'm
third on the totem pole.
I'm pumped to meet the new little girl, and I'm so very pumped to see Mom, because
yes, you're
a new mom, and that's a huge deal.
It is.
By the way, I have to say, you guys take great pictures.
Yes.
That they've been appearing on my Facebook, and
yes,
I try not to stop, but you guys take great pictures.
A little more active on Facebook than it used to be.
Yeah.
Just a little, not much.
It's
a little
fun
more
now, right? It's fun. You're like, I got stuff to show.
Right.
Yeah.
You get to show off a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty enjoyable.
Just the back of her head for now.
Yeah. But that's still fun.
That is fun, and we're slowly getting to the point where it won't have to be that way, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Closer. Every day.
Every day.
So.
Yep. All right. Well, I'll see you soon, Jamie, and I'll see you sooner.
I'm very, very excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it is. I'm pretty pumped, too. So, should we get back to E3 stuff?
Yeah, like
that wasn't planned, but that was awesome.
That was see, that's exactly. I just told you we're gonna have cue breaks. What you
got
just heard on the mic? That's good. That's it. That's what a cue break will be.
She's gonna show up often. I guarantee it.
Yes, and most of the time we'll probably like stop and say, well, actually, you know what? We need cue break production.
Yes.
we need cute break production that we play at the end of every show.
That would be fantastic.
And we're like, okay, we're gonna go do this, but we'll be back.
Yes.
And we'll smell like baby powder when we get back.
There you go. Which is the best. So.
Yeah. So.
All that being said. a couple more things for Microsoft, a couple predictions. How likely do you think it is that we'll see either Halo 6 or new Halo or new Gears of War?
You know what? I really feel like new Halo is coming.
Yeah.
I feel like they just did Gears of War. And unless Gears of War turns into God of War, which holy cow.
Yeah.
We haven't had the chance to talk about that really yet. But, man, if it turns into that, that will be worse new Gears of War. Outside of that, I hope to get to play Gears of War 4 with the brand new Microsoft accessibility controller. Uh, but outside of that, I don't expect to see new Gears of War.
Yeah. By the way, hopefully that's something else that we see from Microsoft at E3 is more of the controller. I think that's fair. And Gears of War, the last Gears of War kind of tried to do that more emotional thing that didn't do it anyway near what God of War has. But they've kind of tested the water with that. On a side note, I saw a thing where Bautista, who is a wrestler and the guy that's on Guardians of the Galaxy, that I can't remember his name, but the big red dude on
right.
Guardians of the Galaxy, wants to play Marcus Fenix in a Gears of War live action movie, which would be the best thing. That would be fantastic. So,
dude, you know what it would be, right? It would be The Punisher on Netflix.
That's what
it would be.
With a bigger dude and maybe more gore, which would be hard to imagine. By the way, The Punisher on Netflix is phenomenal. Really, really good.
I have not watched a lot of it yet, but one thing that I'm really, really excited about coming up with E3, like I said, we're going to have a day and a half, 2 days, and hey, if I get a speaking gig, I may, stick around longer, but we're going to have some time in there. And so I'm hoping after the little girl gets to bed or when her and mom are doing their thing, I'm hoping once we're done with the E3 stuff, you can catch me up on some good stuff on Netflix, because I have not had time, and I know you guys watch everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on Netflix. We watch significantly less now, which is a bummer, because we've got like this backlog of stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff. I really have enjoyed the Marvel stuff that Netflix has done, just about all of it. Iron Fist, I thought, was pretty miserable, but just about everything else is pretty great. I'm pumped about new Luke Cage. There's new Jessica Jones season that's been out for a while we haven't watched yet. That looks great. So, yeah. Really quick, finishing up on Microsoft, I've got one more not crazy prediction and my crazy prediction. Not crazy because of a lot of rumors that have been kind of swirling around this. Maybe new Perfect Dark shows up at the Microsoft press conference. So that would be interesting.
Can I tell you I'm not overly excited about that?
Me neither, and that's the vibe that I've gotten from a lot of other people, a lot of other, like, news sources that are
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but if you're going to do Perfect Dark again, just remake it.
Yeah.
Just make the original.
Which would be cool.
And, man, it would be sexy.
Yeah. They could make that really, really cool.
They could make, we're going to talk about the Cyberpunk 2077 in a second, and Perfect Dark could give it a run for its money, because, I mean, it kind of had that same kind of vibe going on. Not so much that Cyberpunk, but more like a Blade Runner kind of a deal, and I would really love to see a remake of that.
Yeah. That would be cool. All right, so my crazy Microsoft prediction, and I've just made this as outlandish as possible, so that if it, for whatever reason, lands, somebody should give me a job or something. but thinking that Rockstar shows up at the Microsoft presser to show off Red Dead, my crazy prediction is they also show off GTA 6. And so a teaser, not going to see much of it, obviously, but a teaser for GTA 6 set in London. Because that is a game that or location that they did way back in the day, in the original like 2D top down Grand Theft Auto days, which was my favorite of the 2D Grand Theft Autos, the London 19 whatever 60 something, I don't know, version. And just if it's not crazy enough already, that it's a female lead character. That's my craziest prediction of all for E3, GTA 6 at Microsoft in London with a female lead. Very specific, crazy prediction.
You know what's crazy about that is I don't think it's that crazy. I don't think it's that crazy, because you're right. That was the best of the 2D Grand Theft Autos. What I don't want to see in an English Grand Theft Auto is a bat carrying English dude breaking people's knees. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Give me a lead character that's got some curves and got that English accent. Give me, like, For some reason, I have the idea of like Moneypenny from James Bond.
There you go.
And not like Daniel Craig Moneypenny. I'm talking about like old school Moneypenny. Moneypenny used to be hot on James Bond. So that's what I'm thinking for GTA. And of course, you can do it in the era of Wonder Woman. You can do it tastefully and you can do it cool. That could be a really, really cool, sexy lead character.
Yeah, I totally agree. Or even do it as kind of an ensemble cast like they did for Grand Theft Auto 5 and just have one of the characters be a female lead, but whatever way. That's my crazy prediction. So,
go ahead. You could have all of them be females.
That would be super crazy.
Then we could have Orange is the New Black and Grand Theft Auto. That'd be fabulous.
Taking this in somewhat the order of conferences, not exactly, but a couple of Bethesda predictions. So new Doom, possibly? I think new Doom or the new Wolfenstein. We know we're getting Rage 2. And so we may not see either of those, but if we saw one of them, I think New Doom is more likely, right?
I think I actually said that on the last round.
I think so, too.
And I feel like that's going to happen, because even though you and I haven't played it because we haven't had time, and you have a kid in your house, and I don't care how young she is, Doom is not something you play with a kid in your house.
Right.
Neither one of us have played it. We're going to play it. It's in our list of stuff to play. Actually, we did play it. We played a demo, but
we did play a demo.
We haven't played much more of it. But by all accounts, Doom is really good, and there needs to be more.
Yeah.
So,
agree.
I would be happy about that. I really would.
The other prediction I have for Bethesda that's a little bit crazier, but still I don't think that outside the realm of possibilities, is that we get a tease at least of the next Elder Scrolls game, the next standalone single-player Elder Scrolls game. We'll probably see Elder Scrolls Online stuff and whatever the card game is and Skyrim coming to mobile phones, whatever. But I'm saying prediction-wise, we see whatever is post-Skyrim canon Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, okay. I mean, look, here's the deal. And I think part of the reason they've been milking it as long as they have is that Skyrim, for the Elder Scrolls, at least to this point, is the ultimate in Elder Scrolls. Like, the games before it, it does all of the stuff that the games before it did, but it does it better.
And more approachable. I think that was the biggest thing to Skyrim that made it successful, is that Morrowind and Oblivion both felt so like massively open that you just get lost. And it was so hard to like get yourself back on track. Whereas Skyrim was a little bit easier to follow along with, and you didn't feel like you were just wandering aimlessly, which is what I felt like. I never finished Morrowind or Oblivion. I played both of them, but I never finished either one of them. I finished Skyrim and like was completely hooked to that game. And so I think that was the key that's kept Skyrim's life cycle going so long, is that it broadened out the audience. It brought in so many more people. And then, of course, and I think this is massive, the mod community online. The mods for Skyrim are still going, and you can make Skyrim look like a modern game, you know, with all the different texture replacers that there's every like plant in the game you can get a texture replacer for or whatever, but you can make it look like, you know, stuff that's coming out today, or at least competitive with stuff that's coming out today, and that kind of keeps it fresh and interesting and new. And so yeah, it's a punchline in the gaming industry at this point, but they've made it be a big deal and people are still playing it, and that's a good thing for them.
And the point I was gonna make is like, if I were them, I have no interest in trying to follow that up, because you can't.
Yeah.
Like, where would you take the Elder Scrolls series that is going to be on the level of Skyrim. Like, what? We're going to go to the ocean and start fighting Leviathans? Seriously? I mean, the thing with the dragons is what sold Skyrim, at least in the beginning. And it's still, like, I need to reinstall Skyrim on my system since I got it reloaded and it's all good and I haven't had a single problem. But even, you know, I played Skyrim for how many years? And when a dragon comes down on you, it is still impressive.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you don't have to get rid of that. Keep dragons, you know, like whatever the next thing is, like make dragons the centerpiece of that game. Just make it bigger, you know, like the thing about Skyrim is that it's kind of all in this mountain world, and there's other kind of, there's the swampy kind of place and whatever, but like it still is, it feels mostly mountainous. Like, just bring in a couple of other areas, and with like as big as games are today, like the map size of like The Witcher 3 or Zelda or something like that, like Skyrim's pretty small in comparison. It felt really big when it came out, but it doesn't have that much space now. Just make a big, really well populated world. It to me, Skyrim and The Witcher feel very similar in a lot of ways. Like, just find kind of the middle ground there, you know, and like do it big and do it in like Sky or in Elder Scrolls lore. And I think it'd be hard to screw that up, honestly. You know, like if you give me a big Elder Scrolls RPG that plays similar enough to Skyrim, but is bigger and more epic, I'm on board. You know, like obviously that I say that's hard to screw up. It's lots of money and resources and everything to pull that off.
Well,
but if they're putting it in, like I can't imagine it not being a success.
You know what else would be cool? And this is an old school RPG mechanic that came up in a discussion I was having the other day. What if they made an environment that all of that stuff you were talking about, but you could take your character from Skyrim and put him in that new environment? And they did this with Mass Effect.
Yep.
They did it with, what was that old school PlayStation game that Roger and his lovely wife played? And they had characters leveled up to 50, and then they moved to the next game. That is a classic old school RPG mechanic that we don't see a lot of. I think it would be huge for something like Skyrim.
Yeah.
Because there's still people getting XP in Skyrim.
Yeah. That's fair. People are so attached to that game and to that character that they've made. And which, one of the things about Skyrim, as opposed to like The Witcher or something like that, is that this Skyrim character is your character that you make kind of from the ground up.
And
you get to personalize
weapons,
that character.
Your weapons and your, like,
right, like, everything about it is personalized, and so being able to transfer that into whatever's next could be appealing to a lot of people. That's fair. I'm going to move on to a couple PC predictions, and then we'll get into Sony and Nintendo briefly, so we won't go too long here. So a couple of things on PC. So first of all, you mentioned Cyberpunk 2077. So I'll bring that up. We were just talking about The Witcher a little bit in that conversation. So we know this exists, CD Projekt Red's next game. We still haven't seen a ton about it, and so I think there's good reason to think that we will hopefully see Cyberpunk 2077 at E3 this year. The question is, where does it show up? Does it show up in one of the press conferences? Does it show up in the PC gaming show, which would be kind of a big coup for the PC gaming show?
No. Yeah, I think it shows up in the Microsoft show.
Really?
I really do, because think about all the stuff I just said about Microsoft and Red Dead, this new game, Cyberpunk 2077, a lot is in the same vein. And I don't remember where The Witcher 3 showed up, but I sort of kind of think it was in the Microsoft conference. I really feel like that the Microsoft conference would be a good place for this new one.
Yeah.
Because Sony's not going to have it, most likely. I mean, well, I guess they got the Witcher 3, don't they? So
yeah, they'll have it. It'll be multi-platform, you would get. Now, that would be a big coup for Microsoft if they come out and say, we've got Cyberpunk 2077 exclusive to Windows and Xbox. That would be a massive get.
Right.
I think that's unlikely because I think CD Projekt Red wants the install base of the PlayStation 4, right?
Like, right.
There's just a lot more PlayStation. And why I think I can make an argument that this may be Sony's kind of ace in their sleeve is that they show their four games that they've been talking about, and then they, you know, do the, wait, we've got one more thing at the end of it, and then bring out this game that's fairly highly anticipated from a developer that hardcore gamers are a big fan of. Sony's show, just in general, we'll get to Sony more here in just a second, but Sony's show in general is not for the casual gamer. Like, Spider-Man is pretty accessible, and so that would be the one exception. But Death Stranding, as being one of the games that they're going to focus on, that's the weirdest. Like, I don't know if I'm into Death Stranding, and I like Kojima, and I love Sony, and, like, you know, like, I'm not sold on that one yet. Like, it's pretty out there, even for me. That's not an approachable game for most people. And so, yeah, this wouldn't be either necessarily, but it's a very core game. I know who Kojima is, which a lot of people who aren't,
you know what?
Fascinated by the game industry like us do. This would be one of those things that would be kind of a payoff to the gaming community.
Well, and you know what I think about when I think about Cyberpunk 2077, since you brought up Kojima? For some reason, I equate Cyberpunk 2077 with Snatcher. Remember Snatcher way back in the day?
Uh-huh.
That, like, it was that sort of, like, not, like I said, it wasn't overly cyberpunk, but it was on Sega CD. It was hard to find. It was one of those early Kojima games, but it did stuff that nothing else in that era did.
Yeah, and it was pretty cyberpunk.
Yeah. And so when I think about the new game, I also sort of kind of equate that with Snatcher. It's that same type of deal. Yeah. I don't know why. I just do.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's a good equivalent. And we don't see that kind of genre very often. There's a few games that kind of fall into that world, but not a lot. Yeah. What do you think the chances are of Half-Life 3 while we're on PC stuff?
Look, here's the thing. Here's the deal. Half-Life 3 is kind of like, I don't know if I should say this. Half-Life 3 is kind of like that thing that you have heard all your life is going to happen, and it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You wake up one day and it's here.
Right.
Right? And I feel like that's exactly what's going to happen with Half-Life 3. And so at this point, it's kind of like, are the Cavs going to get swept in the NBA Finals? My brother texted me this morning and said, do I think the Cavs are going to get swept? And my immediate response was nope, because that's LeBron James over there. He asked me because I'm sure he's putting money on the game somewhere. my point being is that when Half-Life 3 happens, I've gotten to the point that I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah.
So if it happens this year, I'm going to go, all right, there it is. If it doesn't, then I'm not going to be that surprised.
Yep, absolutely true. I think that's exactly the appropriate place to land on.
And if it does happen, it steals E3. Like, it doesn't matter what anybody else has got. You very lightly hinted at the PC gaming show having a big get. Like, it doesn't matter what anybody else has got. If Valve comes out with Half-Life 3, the show is over.
Yeah.
Like, I have that soundbite of Kenny Smith back in the day from a dunk contest when Vince Carter put his arm through the rim. And Kenny Smith yelled, "It's over, ladies and gentlemen, it's over." That's what that would be like. Seriously, if Half-Life 3 comes out, that's it. Everybody else just go home.
You know what I would honestly be as excited about? And again, we've talked about this before, that you're much more the Half-Life person than I was. Get the Valve logo and the sound and everything, because that's pretty iconic. And then it's Portal 3.
You know what? That would get it, too. If that comes out again, it's over, ladies and gentlemen. It's over.
Yeah. Either one of those would be fantastic. Just to see Valve putting out something. Like, honestly, what was the last thing Valve put out? Like, Valve is a distribution network now, you know? Like, it's crazy that, like, Steam originated from this developer that made Half-Life, and now, like, that seems like the farthest thing away from what they do. So, a couple other things. Blizzard, speaking of PC developers that have been around for a long time, a couple of juicy Blizzard rumors floating around, and whether or not we see anything Blizzard at E3 is questionable. They do their own thing. But we'll go ahead and throw them in here just in case. One of which is a new Warcraft real-time strategy game. So the way that they rebooted StarCraft several years ago, there's a lot of talk that they're doing the same thing with Warcraft, back to the Warcraft 1, 2, and 3 days before World of Warcraft, which was my loves when I was young. I adored Warcraft games. I went out and picked up Warcraft 3 on, like, the day it came out, which is something that I don't do often now and didn't do often then either. But it was one of my favorite franchises when I was young, before the MMO days. And so seeing a new Warcraft real-time strategy game would geek me out. There's also something happening with Diablo. There's a job posting that's been floating about, and everybody's kind of jumped on this in the rumor mill, of something in the Diablo world, be that Diablo MMO, which we've talked about for a while as being a possibility, be that Diablo 4. My personal kind of sneaky prediction is a Diablo 2 remake, because Diablo 3 didn't get people quite as excited. Do an updated Diablo 2. Whatever it is, there's likely something Diablo coming soon. I doubt we'll see it at E3 because Blizzard doesn't really do much for E3, but it will be coming probably sooner than later. I imagine we'll know something new about Diablo this year.
I think something's probably going to happen, but I don't think it's going to be that. Like, I don't think... I was talking about on the roundtable that if you're a fan of RPGs and Diablo in general, you need to play Divinity Original Sin, because it doesn't have that Diablo vibe to it. Like, it's a whole lot... It's a whole lot more on the lighter side of things. At least it is right now as I'm playing it. I'm still, you know, early in the game. But Divinity is doing that Diablo thing pretty well. And I would like to see them do it, but I don't know that they are. And I'm about to commit blasphemy here. But I don't know if you were talking about Valve not putting, they're a long way from Half-Life. Well, Blizzard's a long way from Diablo 2.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they are capable of that. And I wonder if, and I'm about to get us in trouble because we're two old guys, and I'm about to show it right now. But I work with three guys that are very decidedly millennials, okay? That they just are. They have a way that they go about things, and they're into PUBG, and they're into Fortnite, and they're into all that jazz. Do you think that there are still some old guys at some of these studios that would look at something like Diablo 2 and say, "I want to do that"? Because that's going to be the key, because I don't think the young guys have it.
Yeah.
I think the young guys look at something like Diablo 3 and go, "That's where it's at." And you and I look at Diablo 3 and go, eh, it's all right.
But back in my day.
You know, like, I sound like an old guy, but I think it, and it's kind of the same way with Half-Life 3. Like, we know there's some old guys about, but I don't know how many people are really juiced for new Half-Life or new Portal.
Yeah.
Because that's not where games are right now.
Yeah.
It's depressing, but like everybody's trying to do PUBG.
Right. Which I think there'll be a lot of reward for the people that don't. You know, like there's always that payoff of like we're not just following the trend and trying to do something else. We're going to see one of my predictions of E3 is we'll see Battle Royale everywhere. Every game is going to have a Battle Royale mode, so be prepared for that. That's almost certain. That's not even a prediction. That's just going to happen at E3 this year. So, quickly, over to Sony. We think we know mostly what to expect from Sony. They announced the four games that they're focusing on, but they're going to have a couple of surprises in there. What they've already kind of been doing is like these little announcements leading up to E3, and so they announced a new Tetris game yesterday that, like, surprisingly, a lot of people are really excited about. Anticipate. They put out a new trailer for Days Gone today and put out a release date for it, which is February, so that's still not quite a year away, but into 2019. So we'll see a couple of new games from Sony too before they get to the press conference. But the press conference itself, they've kind of got these four games that they're going to focus on. So
can we be open for Marjorie for a second? I know we got to hurry because we're out of time. But holy cow, I was looking at the schedule. Like, I should have prepped to get to your house, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, E3 is starting, like, at, like, Friday at midnight. And it's kind of getting insane. And
yeah.
I don't know if they feel like that they have to keep it going throughout the week to keep people interested.
I mean, honestly, the E3 dates are almost meaningless to me now. The meat of E3 happens really because EA's doing Saturdays now. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, starting with EA and ending with Nintendo. And then the show floor technically opens on Tuesday. At that point, all the news has been made. There's always a few things that pop up after that. But the meat of E3 really now is Sunday and Monday. There's, I think, three conferences on Sunday and four on Monday. And so those are the really dense, heavy days.
Yeah, see,
it used to not be front-loaded like that, but now it's very much front-loaded.
So I'm looking at it going, do I need to book it to get to your house on Saturday? Because I was going to take my time getting over there and get checked into the hotel and
sure
whatnot. But now we're going to schedule. We got two conferences on Sunday. So, like, I did not tell you this, but we have been invited to lunch on Sunday by a friend of ours that heard I was coming to town. I was like, hey, can you guys do lunch on Sunday? And I thought we were going to have one conference to deal with. And so I was
like,
we could probably work around that. And then I saw that and I'm like, crap.
Yep.
So it's just very interesting. Interesting. You're right. It's very front loaded.
Yeah. So with Sony, any big surprises? One thing I've maybe see Final Fantasy VII Remake show up there. Square Enix is doing their own show, and so there's a good chance that would show up there. But it would be a big deal for Sony to show off something. That's not one of those four games that's going to be, you know, kind of a surprise, something to get people talking afterwards. And so that could be it. It seems too early for a new Uncharted. Here's my crazy for Sony. Because they have Kojima now, that Sony buys out the rights to Metal Gear. And we see something Metal Gear related, even if it's like a remake of Metal Gear Solid or something. But I would love to see Sony buy out Metal Gear from Konami and be able to do stuff with it.
Again, I don't think it's that crazy because where's the first place we played Metal Gear? And I'm talking about Solid.
Right, Metal Gear Solid. Yeah. Yes.
Where's the first place we played Metal Gear Solid?
Original PlayStation.
Yeah. So, to me, like, the games on the GameCube and the games on the Xbox and all the stuff that happened, now we have Metal Gear on the PC. That's all fine and good. But the home for Metal Gear, to me, has always been the PlayStation.
Yep.
And so, I think it makes a whole lot of sense.
I would geek out over that. That would be phenomenal. I would love that. But, obviously, we're Metal Gear homers.
But are we going to get David Hayter? Somebody hire David Hayter.
Please. Please. Yeah, please. That would be fantastic. I missed him. So bring David Hayter back. And again, if it's not Konami doing it, who knows? Maybe so. But Kojima was really big on Kiefer Sutherland, and so who knows? I don't know. I would love to see more Metal Gear, like, or remade Metal Gear.
Like, seriously, I'm big on Kiefer Sutherland. Have you seen Designated Survivor?
Yeah.
That show's really good.
It is.
But
good.
He ain't Snake.
He's not. As much as they could try, he's not. So, finishing up with Nintendo predictions. And so, again, what we're anticipating from Nintendo is a lot of Smash Brothers. They just announced a couple new Pokemon games. And so, imagine we're going to get a healthy dose of Pokemon. We know new Mario Tennis is coming, and so anticipate that being shown off quite a bit. I think the kind of soft predictions is new Mario Odyssey DLC, new worlds coming to Mario Odyssey, and or new Zelda DLC. I think one of those is probably a sure bet. Maybe both of those happen. Either way, I'm on board with either one of those. They're both phenomenal games, and so I think those are fairly easy predictions. Where it gets a little crazier, I've got a couple to throw out there. This is one that I think is a little crazy, but maybe most likely of the crazy, is that Nintendo is going to do a streaming game service. And I mentioned this because they're doing this kind of weird cloud thing in Japan with Resident Evil, that you can rent Resident Evil 7 and play it streaming on your Switch via the cloud. And so you don't ever buy the game. You pay like $20. I don't remember what the conversion, whatever it is, but you pay $20 and you have access to it for like 6 months or something like that. I think they may go that route, and we actually see Nintendo as the first mainstream company that goes with a streaming service.
That's not crazy. That's completely insane. that's like the girlfriend that you thought was really hot when you met her, and then it turned out that she had a whole like bedroom full of dolls, and there's like 8 zillion different outfits, and like she takes care of them like children. Yeah, that's that kind of crazy, and I'll tell you why. And I love that it's happening in Japan, because Nintendo Japan can pull this off.
Yes,
in Japan, but they ain't gonna pull it off here. Like, I would love to see that. I would love to see them be the guys that launch that and bring that out and basically beat everybody else to the punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Sony's doing TV, but it's not the same deal. It's not the same as games. I'd love to see that, but I don't feel like they can do that.
I said all that. The PlayStation Now thing, is that cloud-based?
I think it is.
So I might have just been making stuff up.
PlayStation Now, as far as I understand it, is cloud-based.
So then, yeah, stream hundreds of games on demand. I just totally neglected that exists. So Sony's already doing it, so it's not even a new thing, because Sony's got a service out there that's doing it that you can go subscribe to right now that has 600-plus games on it. Nick's everything I just said about Nintendo being the first one. This would be Nintendo doing something Sony's already done, when usually Sony is the one that steals the ideas.
And again... And let's just mention that you had to look that up because you didn't know, because we haven't heard really anything about PlayStation Now except a couple commercials.
Yeah.
They don't really push it. I've seen more commercials for PlayStation View than I have for PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
So I don't really think it's going to happen.
Yeah. One interesting thing about PlayStation Now is you can play it on PC.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Who knew? So there you go. Yeah.
I just had to move somewhere with some bandwidth.
Right? And then you can get a lot of PlayStation games streaming on your PC. So for what that's worth. So we'll see if Nintendo does that. I also think there's a possibility that Nintendo does something VR related or augmented reality. It may be more likely augmented reality related, which would require a new Switch SKU that you could either put in a headset or do augmented reality stuff. Apple just had a big event where they're showing off a lot of their augmented reality thing, and so that seems to be a direction. Nintendo already did augmented reality stuff way back in the DS and 3DS days, and so it's not like a new idea, but it's feeling like it's becoming a little bit more mainstream, and so that could happen. I think this is my hope one, is that there's a new 2D side-scrolling Mario game on the Switch, like a new Super Mario Brothers style Mario title coming to the Switch, because I think the Switch is a really good console for that kind of thing, and it would be really fun.
So. I'm going to say something's going to make you fall out of your chair. It might not make you fall out of your chair, but it's going to make you think. I don't think it really matters what Nintendo does for E3 or what they show off even at their own events, because in their own Nintendo world, Nintendo is winning handily.
Right.
I mean, Sony's way out there in front, Microsoft's doing whatever they're doing, but Nintendo is a strong second. And I said something to somebody the other day that if you don't have a Switch, you need to get one because they have so much great software, including the Labo, which we're going to get to mess around with.
Yep. Another part of E3 for us.
Because Duff, once again, hooked us up. Thank you, Duff. Nintendo has got it going on. And they've got it going on in like a really, really sneaky way. Like, they're doing exactly what they want to do. And they're not making a lot of noise about it.
Yeah.
But the Switch has all of a sudden got a lot of really great software.
Yeah.
So
a heck of a console.
I really don't think, and I mean this in a good way, I really don't think E3 matters that much. I really don't.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think it's fun. I think its importance is significantly less than it once was, especially for Nintendo. But for everybody else, too. Like, it's just a fun event now, you know? Like, it's a reason for us to geek out. But in the age of YouTube and Twitter and everything else, it's ultimately a little bit of a relic. A fun relic, but a little bit of a relic. So, all that being said...
We are going to go before we die.
Right.
We will go to E3 before we die.
For sure. So that's our crazy and not so crazy predictions. We'll see in the next week how many of those things come true, which I'm pretty pumped about. So, yeah, exciting times ahead.
So, are we going to give the schedule for the next week? Because I know you had a schedule in the email, including the E3 roundtable, which I know a bunch of the guys are really excited about.
Yeah, I have no clue when we're actually going to do stuff. That was just me brainstorming. But we can give the really quick, the press conference schedule, which, by the way, go by Twitter podcast, at podcastgu, because we will be live tweeting all the press conferences. So if you're not watching or you want to follow along or you want to catch up after the fact, you can see that there. So really quickly, the press conferences start on Saturday with EA. All these times are Central Daylight Time because that's what we're in, so convert it as necessary. EA at 1, and then Sunday is Microsoft at 3, Bethesda at 8:30, Devolver Digital at 10. So that'll be a fun one. Monday is Square Enix at noon, UB at 3, the PC show at 5, and Sony at 8. Monday is a big day. And then the Nintendo Live Direct thing will be at 11 o'clock Tuesday morning. And so we'll be doing our typical shows, reflections of press conference and all that kind of stuff in between those. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, kind of finishing up with those as things wind down a little bit when the show actually starts.
And I'm really excited because from, like, Wednesday morning on, then we just get to play games.
Yeah.
And what we haven't really talked about, you sort of hinted at it, is that you guys are not only going to get the normal E4 content from us, but every time we stream something on the internet, you people fall over backwards. Well, guess what? You're going to get a whole lot of streaming this week. We're going to be very much live. Obviously, we're going to be working around a little girl. So that will change things a little bit. But we're going to a place with gigabit bandwidth, and we're going to abuse it this week.
Yes. By the way, also the best time to sign up for the Patreon, because there will be lots of exclusive Patreon content coming over the next couple of weeks with E3 stuff happening. And so go by the website, gamingcensored.com. The Patreon link is still right there at the top of the page. The page looks different, but Patreon link is still right there at the top of the page over on the sidebar. So click on that and go support us on Patreon if you want, and we'll give you lots of fun content during E3.
He says that, now we have to back it up, which I'm really, like, I'm not worried about E3. I'm worried about after E3.
Right. That's when it gets tricky.
Yeah. So I'm very excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. I got to give you a real quick pat on the back, because a lot of what you see on the website, not all, because we still got a lot of help from Evie on this one. Thank you very much for all that you do, Miss Evie. But a lot of what you see on the website is thanks to Tommy over there. He did a lot of tweaking, a lot of putting together. The design is actually his idea. He handed me stuff and he was like, this. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, this. And so a lot of what you see is Tommy. So I give you a pat on the back, sir. It's really cool. I'm liking it. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. So
thank you for that.
And we actually bought something for the website. Which right. Who would have thought that would happen?
Isn't that the truth?
We actually purchased a theme for the website.
Which
so.
Is crazy.
That's when you know we're getting to be an adult. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure that Evie did a double take.
Right.
When I said, let's just get it. She went, wait, what?
Right.
So yeah, lots of good stuff over there. Go check that out. Lots of good content coming up. But for right now, we got to get out of here. So is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is episode 0 of Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2018. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza. It's E4 and it's only on GamingUncensored.com. And we are out. Brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.